Satanism 101, this is another course, Theology for the Third Millennium from Shadow the Darkness. This is Russ. God bless you. Listen, as you study in sessions 1 and 2, I want to remind you even now to be prayed up as you do study, because again, Satan doesn't want you to know some of the things. He would rather you participate unknowingly in things, but he doesn't want you to know his work, his agenda. He doesn't want you to know how to expose things and so forth. So please understand, because through the years I've taught this course and many of the others that deal with bringing deep revelation on the satanic agenda, and I've had students many times tell me that, you know, they've gone under deeper warfare. It's kind of like if you hit the beehive, the bees look for who hit it. So I think that that shouldn't cause you to fear. That should just simply give you a heads up. And that's what I think the Apostle Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 when he says, we are not unaware of Satan's methods so that we'd be outwitted. No, I really pray for you that God will give you a spirit of great boldness and great courage and great insight as you take a look into these materials, as you study, as you listen. And let me encourage you to use the notes. I believe that we learn better by writing notes and looking at the outline and seeing what else God gives us and what, you know, questions we might have to write down. So it's great to listen in an iPod or on your way to work or somewhere else, but I do encourage you to study the notes and use the notes as you can download those from the webpage. Well, again, let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for all those who will be studying and researching and listening, for every single believer in Christ, that you'll strengthen them by the Spirit of God, that you will cause us to really know your protection, Psalm 91, that you guard us. The promise not only of the spiritual authority and the armor that we need that we can have, but also the promise, as in John 17, you would protect us from the evil one. 1 John 5, that you, Lord Jesus, would protect us from the evil one also. So we love you and bless you. We rise up to take up the cross. And in these days, Lord Jesus, of the great commission and the great work that you are doing in the world around us, continue to use us in every single way. Pray that you'll give us this information in an accurate sense, in a sense with wisdom on how to use it and how not to abuse the information. We pray, God, just for a great wisdom and a maturity to be given to every believer that is studying in these fields, a great courage and an urgency to be a witness of Jesus in these days that we live in. If you have the notes, page number 3, number 1, biblical revelation includes everything. Listen, it includes everything. This is very important for us to understand under the doctrine of biblical inspiration, that God has given everything he intended. There's nothing missing, and there's not more than we needed, in the sense that having materials that we don't need. Now, under this number 1, I'm saying this. God intended, he intended to expose. God's, the Word of God, biblical revelation, gives us everything that God intended to expose about the origin of the fallen cherub, the satanic presence, the accuser of the brethren, the agenda. Biblical revelation, the Old Testament, shows us methodology, shows us the transmutation of the human race, the work among the nations, the fallen world, the tribes that were demonized, the rituals that were done, the human sacrifice. I mean, even history can show us a lot of these things, and a lot of new, what's called forbidden archaeology and forbidden history and so forth, are now revealing many of these things. And the sad thing is too many people are delving into it in the sense of curiosity to gain spiritual insights and wisdom. And they're not realizing that once again, they're unearthing ancient demonized objects and maybe beginning to open doorways that should never be opened. But that's part of the biblical revelation. God intended to expose how Satan works, how rituals are, showing us that that Satan has real power and that there is a real agenda, and demonstrate his power over that, and where we find our safety, our salvation, and our protection. So it's very important to know that biblical revelation is here to give us the content for exposure of the person, origin, nature, agenda, methodology of Satan himself. And that's what we need if we're going to look into contemporary Satanism, Luciferianism, and occultism and begin to see the signs and times. Because I personally believe that real Satanists, real Luciferians, and those really practicing in the occult arts, including Anton LaVey, the past, Aleister Crowley, and many of the others that are out there now that are pumping the materials, I don't believe there's a Satanist alive that really, really can. They can claim they're involved with the powers of darkness, but they have no idea of the incredible deceptive nature. When they think they have the demons and that they have Satan, the truth is the demons have them and Satan has them. So there's no ability to hook up with Satan and think that you can know everything about him and be his friend. He is a friend to no one. We also know in biblical revelation includes the only accurate record, the only accurate, not the Hindu Vedas, not other materials, not the Satanic Bible, not the Devil's Bible, not other literature like that. Nothing that Aleister Crowley has written reveals an accurate record of Satanic agenda and Satanic method and purpose and so forth. Only the scriptures will give you an accurate record. And so that's why I'm saying, more than anything else, study the scriptures, know the word of God, so that when you look into the literature and look into contemporary culture and look into media and other forms that we're going to show you, then with spirit-lit and biblically trained eyes, you'll be able to see satanic purpose, method, and agenda, and be able to spot some of those things and actually even evaluate whether or not, for example, to look into the New Age movement. I see the paw prints, the hoof prints of Luciferian presence everywhere. Though we have the New Age movement is cloaked, Satan has morphed his presence in the New Age movement in the sense that he is an angel of light. He makes it very appealing to those who want to save the earth, unify humanity, live by a law of love, but not defined in Scripture, of course. Again, a spirituality that's offered as an alternative. Now, that's the core, you know, offer that Satan brought in the beginning, not just, you know, human sacrificial, you know, blood with satanic chanting and men and women in black hoods, which makes things pretty obvious. So when we go through Satanism 101, we're looking at the signs and symbols here in session two, primarily of Satanism and the different varieties and so forth. And but we don't want to eliminate the fact that we know that Satan's hoof prints are all over the New Age movement, among the Wiccans and pagans and Druids and Santeria and all the rest, old occultism. He's involved in all of that. We either have spirituality coming from the Spirit of God, from the Lord Jesus, from the source, the living, infinite, personal God, or it comes from the spirits, the fallen ones. And they have many, many different alternatives and flavors to entice and deceive and seduce humanity. Well, the point C under the number one is biblical revelation includes everything about Satan, satanic power, and agenda. So if you really, again, want to delve into the material, have a biblical understanding. Because, again, on the one side, there's a vast neglect in theology. Though some systematic theologies have a section on Satanism or Satan and fallen angels and so forth, which is good, and I'm teaching a course now, as I've done before, on this, and that's good, but it's not enough. I've not found any systematic theology that has enough of the information that gives us also not just the information about satanic purpose and presence in the past, but satanic presence an agenda for the current day and for the days ahead of us. We should know from biblical revelation what God has revealed future about the presence, the unprecedented presence of satanic presence power and the unfolding of that agenda. And that's the only way we're going to know. So let me encourage you again to study 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, about how the prophets of the Old Testament studied biblical prophecy. They did it very, very carefully with a tremendous intensity and by the leading of the Spirit of Christ to see the times and circumstances. In the New Testament, we have prophecy upon prophecy upon prophecy that reveals satanic development, satanic location, kind of a geopolitical mapping, the idea of Europe, the belly of the beast, the idea of where the Antichrist will come from, the false prophet, the development of counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and so forth. So we're going to see that there is a tremendous amount of biblical prophetic information, and we'll talk more about that. Point number two on page three, signs of satanic power and agenda. Signs of satanic power and agenda. Listen to the victims. Now, we've talked about this, but I cannot emphasize this enough, that in the world that we live in now, the victims began to pour in. I mean, there's always been some level of victimization, you know, from time to time. We can go back to 2 Kings and again read about Manasseh and the victimization that occurred there. His son was a victim of human sacrifice to a demonic god under demonic influences to appease the demonic god, to bring and open the gateway bigger, broader, stronger for the demonic presence to come in and through. Let alone the desecration of a human being and of human activity in the sight of God, which brought, by the way, massive and severe judgment after Josiah. God gave a particular time of grace under Josiah, but he ultimately brought that judgment that came on Jerusalem, supposedly the people of God, even the temple of God. And I think that's very important to remember, that Satan has an audacity. The demons will inch their way in, worm their way in, even to churches and so forth. Look at the Vatican sometime. Do a study of the Vatican, and you're going to see signs and symbols, occult signs and symbols, and I believe very strong satanic images, obelisks, and other things that are there that should not be there. But again, where there's been seduction, like in the early church, the seven churches of Revelation, it's very clear Jesus stood in the midst of his church and he dealt with each church. And the majority of the churches had a battle with Satan. One of them talked about Antipas was martyred. Jesus says where Satan has his throne, a manifestation of power. Another place where Jesus said that he has this against you because you tolerate that woman Jezebel. What was Jezebel doing? She was an occultist, really literally a servant of Satan that had got into the church and was trying to mislead believers and form a counter spiritual movement in the church. And what was it? She was teaching occultic doctrine along with satanic, occultic, sexual perversion to dirty the conscience and the spirit and then to feed occult doctrine. Those two things go hand in hand. So we see this from the very beginning. We see it go all the way back to the book of Acts where Ananias and Sapphira, ultimately, like Judas, they were victims, but they were open and yielded and willing victims. And hear me right now. There are Satanists and others who will die and go to hell because they will to. They've chosen to serve, and they will to serve. And I've met those that are like that. They're still out there. We've had hours and hours of discussions, and there's times we've had literal spiritual battles face to face. But they are those who have chosen to retain dark powers and serve the underlord. On page three, we have also, let's just mention a few things more for everybody. The victims. because even in some of the classes, one of the classes I teach right now, most of the classes I've taught in the last number of years, we've had victims of satanic ritual abuse. Please again realize that there's well over 4 million diagnosed cases of multiple personality disorder, or they call DID now, which overwhelmingly involves satanic ritual abuse. So when you have victims from the late 70s, a few coming in, thousands in the 80s, and then into the millions in the 90s and beginnings of the third millennium, you have individuals that have claimed incredible, incredible abuses. And those that have gotten out have revealed many things of the ancient rituals, the languages, the old languages used, the methodology, the powers, and the agenda, let alone in crime, cult crime, as I was involved in with the police academy and so forth. Being there, you know, I saw many, many slides. If you do get Tom Wedge's book written by a law enforcement agent, you're going to see crime scene photos. Crime scene photos. And they're hard to look at. They're hard to look at. And some of the worst that I've ever seen are not even in that book or other books that I've saw that I've seen in crime, you know, in law enforcement academies where I sat in those training sessions to watch videotape of some of the most horrific and incredibly devastating pictures of human sacrifice, human dismemberment and cannibalism and all kinds of things through various forms of satanic practices. So listening to the victims, they've been writing books, and they've been placing them out. By the way, Karen Sullivan, I think this, it's a good book to read, but she doesn't have all the final answers. And a number of the victims that are out there that are beginning to tell their stories, her book was called, I think, Unshackled. But a number of books that are out there now, even the one on Sean Sellers, the young boy that got into Satanism that eventually murdered his stepfather and mother and his own mother, shot him. He's the one that, as I listened to him in an interview that he did with Youth for Christ leadership, he talked about how his when he went in to do rituals and so forth, he took his protective pentagram off his chest. He felt his chest expand in reference to demonic presence flowing in. Then he went out with that gun, and again, he slaughtered his own mother and his stepfather. He said that he laughed in satanic glee and then went out and later, of course, was caught, and eventually he has been eliminated. Now, it is said that he turned to Christ. You can read about his life and story, Sean Sellers. You can read about Richard Ramirez and some of the major cases you can read about in William Kennedy's book on satanic crime, an e-book that we're going to link when we deal with crime issues. When we deal specifically with Catholics, we will deal with that in the sense of Lucifer's Lodge, William Kennedy, and some of the free MP3s from him. But we'll deal with that, and we'll link you up with Tony Cowell that I met down in St. Louis not too long ago, who still is in law enforcement and is an expert in cult crime. So listening to the victims and their stories and reading their stories, and some of the videos that we mentioned will also have some of those victims telling their stories. And it's pretty horrific to see and hear some of the things that were done. And many of the thousands upon thousands of those victims are still going through healing and still needing that. And by the way, there are victims still out there at the Bohemian Grove, in covens everywhere, kids that are being victimized in daycare centers and in other places. So realize that it's as you and I are going through this, victims are out there. That's why there's an urgency about what we need to do. Former Satanists, to listen to them, those who are involved, whether in the Church of Satan or whatever else. When I led a young man to Christ out of Cleveland years ago, he was proclaiming that he was going to be the Black Pope, that he had all the powers, that he was beating up other satanic covens, little covens up in the Cleveland area. And finally, and his, I won't say his real name, but let's just call him Danny. Finally, I said to Danny, I said, Danny, why in the world then, if you have all the power, dark powers, if you're going to be the next satanic Black Pope, if you're going to have all the girls and all the money and all the wealth and everything else, why in the world did you call us little Christians to come up here and meet with you? And he put his head down, and he just simply said out loud, because I have no joy. And from the time we met up to that point, he was downcast, and you could see the darkness on him. When we got to the church, he would not go in. The spirits within him would not allow him to go into the church building, which doesn't make any difference. That was fine with us. Out of the grass, a number of us were talking to him, sharing the gospel, proclaiming Christ. When I looked at Danny, I finally said to Danny, are you ready to turn your life over to Jesus Christ and let him come into your life and the new the power of the Spirit of God come into your life? And he shook his head, yes. And I said, right now, Danny, call out, ask Jesus. And I began to lead him in a prayer. But the moment that occurred, he grabbed his throat. You can hear him gargling, growling, and he couldn't even speak. He went to he's on the ground, grappling around, and the demons had seized him because he had invited them in. And now they're exposed, and now they're turning on him because he's wanting to walk away. Well, of course, we began to pray, use the authority of Christ, rebuke the spirits. Within about 30 to 60 seconds as a whole, the demons went flying out of him, and he was completely cleared. He cried out, Jesus, come into my life. And he prayed for God's power to come into his life. We prayed over him afterwards. And the most unique thing about Danny that night was his countenance. All the darkness was gone. And this incredible, brilliant smile and joy that came from the Spirit of God, that came from Jesus, entered his life. And Danny was observably different at that moment, let alone not only from the outside, but clearly on the inside. So listening to former Satanists many times will give, again, revelation of what's going on. When I hear some of this stuff, it jazzes me in the sense of I want to rise up, I want to go out there, and I want to get the victims out of it. And that's why we spend thousands of hours, and many of our folks have risked their own lives to help out. And hopefully, this is the reason, truly, that God got you involved. You think it's just a matter of studying a course, or reading about information, and hearing a little bit about some satanic practices. You think it's just about knowing a few things, that you can be safe and listen. Forget it, man. To whom much is given, much is required. And so you now have indicated to the Lord that you're willing to study and to learn, and that you're ready to stand up and be used by God to bring out people out of the darkness into his glorious light. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I'm glad you're a part of the great kingdom of God. Listen, also for signs of satanic power and agenda, you can look at the books that have been written. Now listen, I've read thousands, literally thousands now, on both sides of the fence. I felt it necessary, like in Daniel's day. He studied, he had all the literature and learning of the Babylonians, which means that he had the deepest level of occult understanding in Babylon, where there's, I think, 53, I forget it was a 53, 56 temples, and every kind of human, everything that you could think of. I mean, it was demonically manifest. I mean, he was in Babylon. And he knew the literature and the information and so forth, but he stayed pure because on the basis of chapter 1, he resolved to be undefiled. So in your life, in my life, we resolve to be undefiled. And yes, there will be controversy along the way because you're going to be praying. Hopefully all this information moves you to prayer, moves you to a... I don't know if you want to call it a jealousy for God in the sense that Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't know if it's like the idea of David when he goes down to fight Goliath. He was literally incensed by the satanic blasphemy that was coming from the Nephilim, or at least the demonized tribe member Goliath. And he was incensed with hearing this satanic blasphemy, so he rose up and he rose up to go do something about it in the name of the Lord. So I pray that you will be incensed, that you will be just set on fire on the one hand by God's presence and passion and urgency because of the agenda that God has and his compassion for the world, the mission. But on the other hand, to see the slaughter, literally the slaughter, that in the United States, in England, in Europe, innocent blood has been shed from one side of the nation to the other, and most of it, 95% of it, done in secrecy. We're only seeing in crime video, in crime slides and pictures, in the books and materials, and again, me reading both sides of the fence, even getting underground material, we're only looking at probably 5%, 10%, the tip of the satanic iceberg. So in the books, even in films and media, you're going to see the inspiration behind some of it. We did a lot in the 90s to look up every video we could find that seemed to have any kind of accuracy of satanic presence, agenda, work, possession, and we're, you know, literally sick of even watching them. Under point D, see and don't see, SSS. What do I mean by that? There's so many things you will see. As I just said, probably 10% of the stuff. Maybe we can peer into 20% of the stuff. Maybe we can begin to connect the dots and take a look at Aleister Crowley and all the different literatures out there. Begin, as you read, you're going to be alarmed. You're going to be alarmed. But don't forget 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It deals with the secret power of lawlessness. The rituals are to be done in secrecy. The transgenerational, multigenerational bloodline families, the Merovingian bloodline stuff and all of that, that is satanic super secrecy. Just remember SSS, satanic super secrecy. If you think in terms of the mafia and drug lords and crime individuals doing stuff in secrecy, you've got to understand that the satanic agenda, at least until the Black Awakening, at least until the rise of the Antichrist, that it's going to be done in a super level of secrecy. Now, the New Age is really the alternative spirituality to seduce the world and dull their spiritual senses and even somewhat kind of compromise even the body of Christ and to bring kind of a spiritual fog into our society so that we can't even have perception and discernment about what's really going on. It's kind of like the Hitler thing. The war's going on, all kinds of propagandas. They were masters at propaganda. Why? Because I believe they learned from the demons themselves. The demons were dancing in Nazi ideology. They were dancing in Nazi science and in Nazi technology and in Nazi agenda. They were dancing in the Hall of the Dead at Würzburg Castle and among Himmler and the rest. They were dancing with the concepts of bringing the powers, the ancient powers, back into play through Aryan blood, Nephilim blood. But see, here's what was going on. When the rest of the world's battling, the rest of the world's fighting, even the rest of the Germans were fighting and struggling for their lives. What's going on behind the scenes? They're taking hundreds of thousands of points to the point of, listen, millions of Jews to Auschwitz and Dachau and other places where they're going to literally shovel them in. They're going to shovel them into places, to the crematoriums, to be burned, to be destroyed. So when I talk about see and don't see, on the one hand, nobody really, I mean, they began to get glimpses. They had no idea that the smokestacks that were coming up from those places were filled with human remains. And if you ever see the pictures, and we're going to recommend later in some of the sessions to watch videos like Hitler and the Occult, you could even go to the Shatter the Darkness website right now, go to Lebensborn and the entire project to create, you know, again, pure blood, Nephilim, Aryan-oriented, you know, occult or demonized super race. And there's some links as you move through all that. And there's video you can watch with some of the occult level, what's really behind. Again, secular historians, secular psychologists, secular military could not peer into this. They didn't understand it. And so they didn't write about it. It took people that understood it, even occultists that later began to write about the occult dimensions of Hitler. It's a place the demons were dancing and reveling. It was like a mass of demon revels. And when the war was broken, where did all the demonized SS soldiers go? It is said that 80,000 of them alone went through the rat lines through the Catholic Church and other places. They became fake Catholic priests, and they went all over the world, Paraguay, colony of Dignidad, you know, other parts of the world, to continue the agenda. And listen, and you'll hear more about in this whole, you know, study, the agenda has continued. This now, like, what is it now, 60 years later. It has continued, and they're still building their soldiers, a super race of soldiers, and the agenda. Why? Because it's not just, Nazism was just a partial vessel. If you really want to study and understand the coming chaos before the New World Order, really study, it's like Germany and Hitler being a type of the Antichrist, and Himmler being a type maybe of the, and other occultists behind the scenes, a type of the false prophet. But look at the deception and what destruction it brought about. Look at the super secrecy they lived in. And look at the piles of bodies and bones and skulls and skeletons. Look at, again, the victims. And the goal was the annihilation of the Jewish race, to annihilate the entire Jewish race. And you got to understand, part of that is because the satanic agenda, if you understand biblical prophecy and understand the nature of Satan, it is almost as though he believes that if he annihilates the recipients of biblical prophecy, he can stop the prophecy. See, Jesus is returning right there into Jerusalem and the temple. Jesus is returning to, and the prophecies tell us that there's going to be a national turning of all of Israel to salvation in Christ. Romans 11. So there's going to be a turning, and there's an elect purpose of God that this nation would turn to Messiah. And Jesus in his descent visibly will come there to the Temple Mount, and that's where he is going to, come. And so you're going to notice that all of the satanic agenda ultimately is going to, and that's why you're going to find that there's still anti-Semitism in much of the real Aryan Satanism that's going on around today. So you see some things, but you do not see the majority. If you see some things, realize that you're seeing the tip of the iceberg. If you're hearing about a little bit of ritual here and a little bit of stuff here, you're only hearing the tip of the iceberg and seeing the tip of the iceberg. This course will take you into the tip of the iceberg. What you and I've got to understand is that the iceberg is massive, massive, because we're talking about eventually the seizure of the world. The chaos, the great revolt, as the scripture calls it, they call it the Black Awakening, that will help usher in the apocalypse of Antichristu. And this will bring about 7 years, 3.5 years of fake peace. But in the next number of years, it is possible to see between 2 and 4 billion people lose their lives in bloody, bloody, bloody warfare. And the wrath of Antichrist, and then the wrath of God on the kingdom of Antichrist and Antichrist himself. So realize again the super secrecy, and that's why we need to have the spiritual authority of Christ, biblical revelation, and we need the prayers that we can ask God to literally cut through the secrecy and to reveal and to expose. As we read in the Old Testament, even with the great prophet Ezekiel, where God had to take him and by supernatural means cause him to see inside the caves. where the elders, the 70 elders, you know, again, counterfeiting the real 70 elders, and they're in there doing human sacrifice. They have symbols on the walls. They're doing rituals. They're doing detestable things. And God is showing Ezekiel what's going on behind the scenes. Again, without that supernatural break-in, we may know nothing of what's really going on. And this super satanic secrecy can be applied to the CIA, to the NSA, to the DID. You can look at all of the rogue projects in military, because Satan has an agenda to grasp military, to give technology, to seize it in the future. So anyway, let's continue to look and to see. And the more you see, the more, you know, it disgusts us. It shows again, deception leads to destruction. It shows again the horrific nature of satanic presence and power. But listen, my friend, listen, students, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. See it by fulfilled prophecy. In other words, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was able to say, "This is that which what the prophet Joel prophesied about." Literally, the fulfillment was right upon them. So when you understand 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which I think is one of the primary chapters we should be memorizing, not only the content verse by verse, but know the depth of this. The frog in the kettle approach, the super secret power of lawlessness, meaning the antinomianism, the absolute total opposition to the rule and reign of God, the man of lawlessness that will come to set himself up as God in the temple. We have this panoramic view, and then we see how Satan is supernaturally operative. There are Christians out there that I don't think believe that Satan is how really, really is, let alone that he has any power. There are Christians out there to simply sit back and say, you know what, I'm under the blood, everything's cool, everything's fine. And, and that kind of Christian is ignorant, and sometimes we Christians are simply just nuts in what we, think, because we're not thinking on the basis of the totality of biblical revelation. We have little bits and pieces. And we've taken bits and pieces for what we want for ourselves. It's time to open our hearts and take in the full revelation of everything Scripture says and teaches. It's time that we take a look that, yes, hell will be unleashed into the world as never, unprecedented, unequal, Jesus said. The deception will be unequaled. The demonized individuals, the manifestation, the demonic presence, the demonic seizure of the world, the dragon leading the whole world astray, unprecedented, unequaled. Jesus said, as never in human history, never again. So much so that he will have to cut the day short, lest by that satanic presence and power, there become a total annihilation of the human race. That's what it would end in if not for Jesus to intervene and cut those days short. Because the greater the deception, the greater the destruction. And if the deception is on a global basis, then the destruction will be global too. Don't forget the principle. Point 3 on page 3 of session number 2. Signs, symbols, the demons are dancing. Let's touch on the symbols. And by the way, on the web page that has been sent to you, there's two links. The second link is the primary one, I think. And you can take a look, go to those links, and you will find signs and symbols. Listen, I've got books and books of them. We had to learn them at the police academy. We learned them in law enforcement. The reason we had to learn them and know them is so that at crime scene investigations, if there was a satanic justice symbol, what it meant. If there was a black mass indicator, what it meant. If it was a inverted pentagram, it involved Satanism. If it was a pinnacle, it involved paganism, Wiccan, and so forth. So to know the difference, to be educated about this. The old theologians were educated about humanism, atheism, and things like that. It's now time to realize that we are in the clash, the greatest, we are at the theros of the clash of civilizations, the most supernatural manifestation ramping up in the history of the world is occurring now and is about to erupt in the world. Both the kingdom of God and what God will do, but the unprecedented supernatural rise of satanic presence, thus the demons dancing. Symbols have meaning. A satanic justice symbol has meaning, that maybe somebody whose tongue's cut out, hands cut off, eyes gouged out in satanic crime stuff, with that symbol, it is a justice, a judgment on one of their own members or somebody that was telling the secrets. A black mass indicator in area tells you that a black mass, which involves human sacrifice, was going on. So the symbols, and we don't, I don't have time to go through those. That's why you get these to go to the web. Tom Wedge book back in the 90s had some of the, was bringing those symbols out on the back of his book. He has symbols. We have books and books of them here that we've used in seminars. And now on the web, more than ever, there's plenty. And so the links that I've given you on the web page will take you to look at satanic symbols, Luciferian, the difference between pagan, Satanism, occultism. All of them have their source in dark spirits, dark presence. But listen, when you see a red stop sign in America anyway, you know that it's time to stop. A yellow yield sign and different things, signs, and those symbols tell us something. And it's very important to know some of those. When law enforcement studies gang symbols and gang graffiti, they're learning about some of the activity, the gangs and crime and drug running and so forth. To learn about some of the signs and symbols, even, for example, some people have learned a few things. They go tracking off into the woods looking for satanic rituals on certain satanic ritual nights. What they don't realize, and they haven't studied enough, is this. Real Satanists will have perimeters. Where the ritual is going on, outside of that will be a perimeter of people to protect them. Outside of that perimeter will be another perimeter. And here's the danger that we were taught in law enforcement. Even when we were on the field training, when we had to go out there and booby trap places and flash bombs and things like that, night vision that they use, you could be killed, you could be shot, you could be dragged in and used in a ritual. So realize again, these folks know what they're doing. And if they're doing animal or human sacrifice or involving human sexual, rituals with children, you've got to understand the level of secrecy on a satanic side, let alone on what they need to do when we've tracked them. We've watched, and I'm not going to give all the indicators here, but we know how, sometimes they do things to find out if people are trailing them. But the biggest issue is their powers. They believe not only their demons protect them, their demons inform them. And some of their people have developed through the demonic presence and power, telekinesis, clairvoyance, the ability to feel the presence of Christians coming, things like that. So understand that this is clearly where we need, when we've learned to do spiritual warfare and pray and shut them down and be cloaked by the presence of God and so forth. So symbols are important. And I hope you, and symbols, some of the symbols have powers to them. And this is true of what are called sigils. It's almost like having a marking of a particular demon. And that's why in the Old Testament, to mark yourself with a sigil, with a satanic symbol or name of a demon or demon god, you could have literally demonic attachment to that symbol or sigil or marking on a physical body. You can still see some of this nowadays with tribes in South America, South Africa rather. And there are war gods and the spirits that they call upon and mark themselves with, and realize that the symbols come out of demonic inspiration. It's kind of a communication. And they can have power on those symbols. And those symbols could be put on objects that become demonized objects. And when those symbols are drawn into the ground and they're used in ritual format, they have to be done with precision. They have to be done with, and just the way the demonic inspiration, spelled it out, if they want to appease the demons and get the demons to reward them or whatever. So it's very important to understand those, to know some of those. And in knowing them, symbols can mark an area or the type of area for types of rituals. They can tell you that if it's part of an old Crowleyan magic or if it's Wiccan or pagan, if you've walked up into a house or a site or you see a person wearing a inverted pentagram, or is it a pinnacle? So if a Wiccan has a pinnacle on, you say, oh, you got the satanic symbol on. Well, they're going to know that, they're going to just say, think you're ignorant. That's why it's always, you learn a lot by just simply asking them questions. And what I do is I use questions to lead into evangelism. And so if I sit down with a Wiccan, a pagan, or Druid, or somebody else and ask them a lot of questions, in my approach, it's leading to evangelism. But it also gives me, information from the horse's mouth, in a sense. So symbols can also warn you of where to stay away from and tell you that, that it's a pretty serious group. I mean, even skinheads and Aryans, white supremacists use it. And obviously among the Nazis, the swastika became an incredible occult power symbol. And when you read later on, or even get a hold of some of the videos that we're going to encourage you to get a hold of, or maybe you've seen, we'll mention a couple that were on the History Channel, that to see those is to see some incredible revelation of how, again, satanic symbol and symbolism was used to communicate, and powers came with that. And we can identify differences of differences in satanic groups and differences in occult groups and so forth. And you can even see this again for some individuals, seeing young people wearing things. For example, we were at a great big Christian festival and we had a Shatter the Darkness booth set up. And right next to us was a great big bookstore, Christian bookstore, music, and they had jewelry. And they were selling an ankh. An ankh, it's like a cross, but on top of it is that loop. So when you study the ankh in any symbolism on the web or the two places that we've given it, I think has accurate insight to the background of symbols. You're going to find out that it has everything to do with opposition to Yahweh, to Jesus, to Christ, and presents some very, very deep demonized ideology. And so the Ankh, when we told them about that, they immediately removed it and would no longer sell the Ankh at a Christian bookstore. Point four and page four, let's go to that. The demons are dancing. And let me say again, this is for you to study now. Biblical Revelation, 2 Kings, chapter 21 through 23. You're going to see there again the idea of signs and symbols, the ritual practices. Moloch was being worshipped. Manasseh sacrificed his son there at Tobiah on that slab, the actual ritual human sacrifice slab. You're going to find that Manasseh was into the starry host. Every demon, god, goddess, spiritual, demonized thing he could bring in, even to the point of taking symbols, occult-oriented, probably with demonic attachment, symbols then were taken and nailed right to the doors of the temple, which was the temple of God. Do you see the audacity here? To literally... Satan has, if there's no opposition, Satan would love to just, it's again like moss on a rock, just literally completely cover everything. That's why Masons and others, they love to sneak into, be a part of churches and in the brickwork, place bricks that have the Masonic symbol on it. That's why they like the concepts, and we won't get into here, of astroarchaeology and the idea that this all has a significant spiritual or demonic power and presence and acquisition. So it's important as you study 2 Kings 21 through 23, the biblical, take a look at that and see the how far things went without intervention. How far things went when there was pure and total compromise to the point that any faithful people left were living in fear because the entire land had become drenched in innocent blood, bloodshed. Point B on page 4, where are the demons? Well, let's just talk about this. And I remember years ago, Dr. Charles Stanley on the radio, a preacher, I was listening one day, and he was talking about demons. He said, I know a lot of people out there, you know, that are, you know, don't believe and so forth. He says, I want to tell you that the demons, they're close to you. They're not just, behind every bush. They're behind every tree. They're behind every rock. They're behind every, garage. It's just kind of his emphasis. This is talking about the real biblical revelation of demonic presence. There in the air, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the wicked hosts, the supernatural presence, not only of rulers and principalities, but literally in the air. Where are the demons? If there's trillions of them, millions of them, billions of them, where are they at? Well, they're all around. And in many cases, they have manifested or come from their side to our side through the laws of engagement, legalities in which people have either invited them in, set up worship to certain gods and goddesses, accepted demonic doctrine, and then have allowed themselves to be used. Like Manasseh. Look how Manasseh was the vessel that brought in so much demonic presence. That could be true in the military with some of the German doctors that were brought over and scientists, Gottlieb and others that brought in some of the Nazi demonic technology for mind control and et cetera. So it can come through individuals that are placed in power. Why do we have presidents that were part of a super secret society, Skull and Bones, which goes back to Germany to some very, very deep, deep satanic occult, orientations, origins. And there's an agenda there. And many people who are, here's what they call them. Here's what real Luciferians call, presidents and senators and so forth that are actually in worshiping Satan and down there, in some meeting. But they're influenced enough that they call them unwittings. Unwittings. It's the same belief at Bohemian Grove where our presidents and leaders and stuff for years and years and years have been going out there, been invited to go out there to a big retreat and then watch this mock human sacrifice, which is stupid. They're got to be nuts for doing that. I mean, that's just... and look at the super secrecy. They even use secret service to guard from anybody getting in. Alex Jones did a good job getting some information out. But some of the victims that have come out have told the same stories. But here we have this mock ritual. They think it's a mock ritual from every indication. My personal belief, it's a real ritual. I've observed it again and again. And they're unleashing dark spirits on that audience. For what? Influence. So understand, according to Ephesians 6, they're in the air. Satan is called the ruler of the power of the air, the idea of atmosphere around us. We can say they're behind the veil, we don't see into their world. And they really can't cross over into this side unless there's legalities. Ephesians 4 talks about from verse 26 down, don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold. The Greek word topon means literally a legal right, a way to get in. So when politics, military, society, individuals, new spiritual movements open doors, well, the veil, they're able to come from that side to this side. They're on the books. Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 talks about the Holy Spirit warns very strongly about doctrines of demons, didache teachings. In other words, demons that will give demonic inspiration, counterfeit to biblical inspiration, and bring about books that will have demonic presence with them. And there are books that I have been given or looked at or whatever that I had to literally anoint and pray over because I really literally could feel the opposition. Realize, whether you believe it or not now, they can demonize objects, conjure spirits in a ritual, and or if they have demons, you know, enough inside of them to breathe them out, and place demons through ritual legalities on an object. This is part of the idea of the, and go, if you want to, go to the Shadow of the Darkness website and listen to the infiltration of churches, and you'll see how real undergrounders use demonized objects to bring into the church. They could even use some things that are looks like a Christian symbol, a Christian painting or something that they have taken and dirtied in a perverse ritual and conjured spirits, demons to be upon the object to give to somebody. This is true of missionaries who were unaware of spiritual warfare that brought home demonized objects that were dedicated to demon gods in India, South Africa, South America, and in Asia, and brought them home and have them in their house. And then they realized later, you know, because of sickness or weirdness or feelings or whatever, stuff that begins, the demonic presence, like in the Old Testament with Achan, when he buried that object, it wasn't just that he buried a monetarily valuable object, that God, the severe judgment was so severe, not because it was just money. It was a demonized object. It was a devoted thing. It was an object that would have demonic presence and power on it that would, and usually that comes from dirty, you know, bloody rituals, that it would eventually begin to infect all of Israel. And Israel was to be holy, and God was there to, you know, get everything out, just like in our personal lives, to make sure that we have things out too. So the demons can be in and on, even through books. I believe such books as Eckhart Tolle's book is deeply entrenched with demonic doctrine. The book Course in Miracles and any book from Alice Bailey, I think any Christian, again, researching, should be pray over these and rebuke any presence of darkness and boldly, you know, shred through material with the authority and presence and power. You know, again, don't forget the biblical revelation, what God says to you as a Christian in 1 John 4:4, greater, megdala is the word, meaning immensely greater is the Holy Spirit's presence in you than the demonic or Satan's presence in the world. So go into all this with a standpoint of, you know, victory, and the righteous are as bold as a lion and the wicked flee. Anyway, they can be on objects, on land, territory, even in houses that rituals have been done in, where practices are being done in territory areas, fields, places, all these places we've been to. They can be in and on people without a question. There can be attachments to things and people. And again, we'll just mention that the demons are in the agendas. The agenda to get, just like the Holy Spirit comes down in the believers to fulfill the Great Commission, demon power comes down on Satanists and Luciferians to fulfill the satanic agenda. His agenda is fulfilled by satanic power. Check it out, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, a couple of things here to close up this session. Then we're going to do a special session on the Philip Factor. Is page 4.5. How do they get in? Well, I have down here, they knock, they seek, they communicate. Truly, when I say they knock, the idea of God, you know, when we read about Jesus, he knocks at the door of our heart. We hear that all the time. The idea that Jesus is on the outside of the Laodicean church, wanting to have fellowship with that backslidden, apathetic church. And the idea that he's on the outside. But the idea that God's communicating, that God is knocking. It is obviously that God is communicating. In the gospel, there's a power from God. There's that call that goes out. When Peter preached, he ended that message by saying, "This promise is for you." He said to everyone, each and every one of you, to repent, of course. But then he ended it by saying, "This promise of the gospel is for you and your children, for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God shall call." or later in the book of Acts, when Paul is preaching among the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers at the Areopagus, he says, but now God summons all people everywhere. So please understand, God, you're an ambassador, and God himself is literally appealing through you. That's what the presence and power. Remember, Jesus said not even to worry about words at times, because it'll be your Father, the Holy Spirit, speaking through you. So just as we understand how God has knocked at our heart, has convicted us, Jesus said he would draw, when he's lifted up, he would draw all men. That's by supernatural power, by the Holy Spirit. He would draw. He seeks to save that which is lost. And he sends us to every crevice of the world to compel them to come in. So the satanic side works that way. The demons are knocking. They are seeking. They're looking. The satanic synchronicity of setting people up, if they open up to Ouija boards, being led to tarot cards, being led to other things, being led to, you know, ritual gatherings and meetings. And, you know, some individuals that I've read talk about how they had dark, scary, shadowy presences in, you know, in their life. And then they felt literally guided into certain old bookstores to pick up old occult books. Demons lead those people into more occult research, into deeper rituals, into feeding the demonic doctrine and feeding their demonic worship. Whereas the Spirit of God leads us in a different direction. Amen? I thought you'd say amen. And praise God for that. That's one of the indicators biblical revelation gives us, is in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, and nobody can curse Jesus. Jesus be accursed, other than by a demon spirit. And I've seen in deliverances again and again, dozens and dozens and dozens of times, where demons want to mock Jesus and curse Jesus, and obviously by the authority of Jesus, we shut that down and tell them to get out. Page number 5 deals with they communicate. Think in terms of automatic writing, where people talk about how their hand just begins to move. The lady that wrote Course of Miracles felt guided that way. The man Paul Von Ward wrote his book God's Genes and Consciousness. I think one of the most dangerous books. I think you should read it. Prayerfully read the book. I mean, it's not, you know, going to tell you about human sacrifice. He just claimed to be a Baptist minister, but now he's like completely pushing the New Age, the Alice Bailey, the Helena Blavatsky doctrine, secret doctrine of the voices of the advanced beings, the voices of the Great White Brotherhood, the voices of the Ascended Masters. No better book that I know of that reveals this is Alice Bailey's book entitled The Externalization of the Hierarchy, and how the hierarchy, she's literally communicating their agenda, their will, what she knows of them and tells of them, and of course brings in a watered down version of Jesus in context. It's again, they did it to the temple in the Old Testament, and they have no problem using the temple. As long as they can spiritually dirty it and then use it for their purposes. They can communicate into feelings, involuntary feelings and thoughts that come to people's minds. You know, where there's a kind of the idea of voice to skull. The technology is one thing, but the reality is Satan's been doing this for a long time. That's what those arrows are all about in Ephesians 6. You know, satanic presence to the mind and to deceive, lead, and so forth. And in all of that, I always tell people curiosity kills the cat, because people that like to get involved with, you know, listening and they feel led and they feel something supernatural, and it's curiosity, and they want to get their, you know, futures read by a psychic, and on and on and on. All of that is satanic synchronicity and leads ultimately. The demons are dancing. Listen, these are the beings that are the expert, the source of deception, source of seduction, the source of sabotage, the source of subterfuge. They, if anybody knows it, they do. And only and powerfully and overwhelmingly in Christ do we find not only freedom from, but victory over and authority over and discernment and Holy Spirit power guiding us. Demons can give visions and dreams and do many things like that. Let me just mention a couple other things before we get on to this last part. Well, actually, we're at over 60 minutes right now in this session, so I'm going to literally do a session two, part two, that will deal with what their servants are all about and how they get things and so forth, and how the demons are dancing among the rituals and so forth. But the majority of part two will deal with Philip, the Philip factor, and just I think a good inspiration for us. This is Russ Dizdar, shadowthedarkness.net. Don't forget on Sunday nights, the live program, Blog Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you're welcome to email a question in, call a question in. The Lord bless you, and may His power and grace and the awesomeness of your King and your friend, the Lord Jesus, be with you.